Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Payne, Pendergast, and because it's Friday at about this time, we are going to the hotline now to talk to our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. You can, of course, catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home on radio.com/home or search home on the radio.com app. You can go check it out. Ross, good to talk to you. It's been a rough week here in Houston, as I'm sure you've seen from afar. Which Houston horrible story intrigues you more? The Texans coughing up a 24-0 lead and still managing to lose by 20 points? Or the Astros sign-stealing fiasco?
That's a good question. I'm still intrigued by the whole De'Eriq King is going to come back to Houston. He's just quitting on his teammates in the middle of the season, but he's coming back next year. Everything, and now he's in the transfer portal. Now he's visiting Miami.
People have given up on that. People had given up on that a while ago.
You guys probably haven't even talked about that for 1 second.
Well, we
but
did.
I'm still intrigued by that because I did a couple of Houston games early in the year, and all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to sit out the redshirt the rest of the year so I can come back even better for my guys next year. Everybody knew he was full of you-know-what and was going to transfer somewhere. And I still just think I don't know why Houston decided to do it that way, probably because they didn't want to take all that smoke during the season. But, man, oof. If I were his teammate, that's a rough one. But that's not the question you asked.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a football guy, but now that you get to the point where there's buzzers under jerseys and stuff,
allegedly,
this sounds really, really bad. And I guess I'm always curious, you know, when I'm on with you guys, what's the reaction of the people? Is it, you know, like the Boston folks, everybody else is doing it. You know what? We're just doing it better, blah, blah, blah. Or is it like, wow, this is really bad. This makes me feel bad, and I don't feel nearly as good about us winning the World Series.
At this point, Ross, there are a couple things going on. For one, there was a pretty big investigation in which everybody that was interviewed complied and went along with it, other than Alex Cora. And they interviewed a whole lot of people, and Major League Baseball didn't find anything out about it. All this stuff that came out yesterday, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what the big deal is, other than that a fake internet account, a fake Twitter account tweeted about it. These are all rumors that had already been out there and presumably were asked about. The little picture of the wrinkle in Altuve's jersey, all of that. None of this is really new. I guess it's just new that it's blown up and added to a wrinkle to maybe people that weren't following as closely. I'm standing by at this point, like, show me some evidence. Like, people are claiming, wow, I heard similar rumors from different people. Is that evidence? Let's call that evidence. No, a rumor is a rumor, whether it's false or whether it's true. There is no evidence of it at this point. I'm getting very angry about this, Ross. Not my Altuve.
I think that's probably fair, Seth. I guess, I don't know. I just saw where it was, you know, Beltran's niece, supposedly? Is that not true?
No, yeah, 100% untrue. Not his niece.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I saw that, and then that John Boy guy.
Yeah, he's the one that put it out there.
It pretty good. He said he had 5 different sources that told him they had buzzers, and then who is the pitcher? John Boy
is also, you know, there's like some batters will use a little pad to help him get a grip on the bat. He's shown pictures of that before and said that might be a buzzer. He also once he put a picture of a pizza box on a table and said, look at the laptop. No, that's a pizza box. Like John Boy, I don't know what John Boy's batting average is right now on this, but John Boy throwing something out there has a very good likelihood of being complete bunk, but he gets it right every now and then. Yeah, I don't.
Okay, well, I mean, the video stuff he had, yeah, it was pretty compelling.
You know, right.
You can hear the noise. But so a couple more thoughts on this. So Trevor Bauer said something to, you know, he's a pitcher, major league for a long time. I think the two things that are interesting are, if it is true, why didn't Mike Fiers say that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if that is how they were doing it, because that's not what he said, right, when he kind of told everybody what was going on.
Yep.
I mean, if he's going to spill the beans and be the whistleblower or whatever, you'd think he would have mentioned that part of it, number one. Number two, it's like, does it matter? I mean, we've already established that they're cheating. Whether there's buzzers under their jersey or they're just doing the trash can thing, it's cheating either way. They're getting punished either way. Like, I guess, I don't know, buzzers seems a little more scandalous than banging a trash can, but same difference, right?
We'll ask baseball if it winds up being anything. Ross Tucker joining us. Let's shift over to football, Ross, and get to the other horrific occurrences in the city this past weekend. The Chiefs and the Texans on Sunday. Where do the Texans go from here with Bill O'Brien? If you were the owner of the Texans, what would you be doing right now?
Well, can we just start, okay, with the fact that in 35 years of watching football, I've never seen a game like that. Never. I mean, 24-0. And at that point, I still thought there was maybe a 20-25% chance the Chiefs could come back. I didn't think they would, but I thought, yeah, I don't know, Chiefs. But for them to then be, like, blowing out the Texans in the third quarter already, like, that was – I've never seen anything like that. Like, you think about every epic comeback, it's like, okay, they get a game-winning field goal at the end. They don't win by 20. Like, they don't blow them out like that. I thought that was crazy. And I'm also going to defend Bill O'Brien on a couple things. Everybody's killing him that he kicked the field goal on fourth and inches. I was okay with that. They had all the momentum. They were rolling. You know, there's a difference, big difference in my mind, between 21-0, 24-0, because then it's three touchdowns, three two-point conversions, or a fourth score. And I don't think he wanted to give them the chance to get any momentum after he saw what happened the night before, when twice the Ravens got stuffed on fourth and one. So I could live with that. I didn't think it really matched up with the fake punt then after that. It's like, okay, if you don't want to give them a chance to get any momentum and whatever, why would you run the fake punt? But that's also, everybody that's critical of that is because they already have access to the results. I mean, if the guy ends up getting it and Sorensen doesn't make that tackle, I don't think people are like, oh my gosh, Bill O'Brien is putting it all on the table. He's leaving. He is going for it. You know, like, nobody's criticizing them if they get that. The thing that I'll never get over, and the thing that I would question about Bill O'Brien, other than the offseason moves, which we can get to, but when there was like 8.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and the score was 48-31 and he sent the punt team on the field, yep, from midfield. And I wish we had audio and could hear the microphone for Deshaun Watson, because I picture him being like, coach, you know they just scored 7 touchdowns in a row, right? Like, you know they literally just scored 7 touchdowns in a row. And then he calls the timeout, and then they go for it. I actually thought that was the move that you could be most critical of. A, that he thought that they should punt it in that situation, and then using the timeout. I mean, that was how that could be his gut instinct is beyond me.
Ross, I guess, and obviously in that game, the huge issue was the defense. I'm with you there on everything that you just brought up, pretty much in lockstep for most of it. On the defensive side of the ball, we have a guy who's been here in the afternoon. He's co-hosting with Clint Sterner for a couple days, Ron Hughley. He's from Kansas City. So he's watched this last year of Kansas City pretty closely. I was talking to him yesterday, and what he said is, hey, Seth, don't think that the defense is that far away from being fixed by a simple coordinator change and plugging in a couple other people, because look at what happened with Kansas City. Do you think the Texans defense, which went from being respectable to one of the worst in the league this year, could it possibly be as simple as a coordinator change in a couple key spots?
Well, I think a lot of that depends on whether or not J.J. Watt can get back to, you know, J.J. Watt dominant form, because they still have, in my mind, you know, several difference making players. JJ Watt, Merciless. I love Zach Cunningham most of the time. The secondary, I think, leaves a lot to be desired. And they tried to patch that up along the way with Conley and Hargraves. You know, a lot of times you don't even need to for us to discuss whether or not they have issues. They show you where they know their issues are, right? By trading for Conley, picking up Hargraves on waivers, like they're showing you that that's a major issue. I think the major issue for me for the Texans going forward, Seth, is they're in a really bad spot now. I mean, they have, what, one pick in the first two rounds the next 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
They have to pay Deshaun Watson sooner rather than later, and he deserves it. He is unbelievable. He's worth every penny. They got to pay Laremy Tunsil. They don't really have the resources and the flexibility for me to really feel that good about them moving forward. They have to pay those two guys. You can't trade what they traded for Tunsil and not pay him. You got to pay Watson. Both of those guys are going to get absolutely top of the market contracts. And so I think that hurts their financial flexibility. They don't have a lot of draft picks, you know, and Bill O'Brien says after the year, I think it worked pretty well. I think we should stick with this. It's almost like if I didn't know better, it's almost like the whole Nick Caserio thing. Oh, we tried to get him, but it didn't work. Oh, that's a bummer. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they get Nick Caserio in May, and maybe that's different. That would be different. But what I would submit to you is, number one, why would you want to go there if you're Nick Caserio after Bill O'Brien just drained you of a bunch of resources to actually have a young, up-and-coming team and have depth and the way you want to build it? And number two, I think Bill O'Brien likes it just the way it is. I think he figured out a way to get all of the power and all of the control, which I know he's wanted for years. And I don't blame him for that. I mean, look, if I was – I'd want all the control. It's like the whole Cleveland thing. Jimmy Haslam wants to talk to the coach. Yeah, if I was the owner and if I paid billions of dollars, yeah, I'd want to talk to the coach the day after the game too. So I don't blame Bill O'Brien, but – I'm just wondering, and you guys are closer to the team than I am, who is the checks and balances? Like, it feels to me from a very outside observer that Bob McNair was running the team and the patriarch, right? And then Bill O'Brien was there. And it almost feels like I don't know Cal McNair. I don't know the dynamic there. I think it's interesting because I almost feel like Bill O'Brien is dictating to Cal McNair. From afar, that's what it appears.
That's what we're trying to figure out, and just exactly how much of the firing of Brian Gain was specifically directed by Bill O'Brien versus, look, Cal McNair made a pretty drastic decision there in firing a GM who had several years left on his contract. So I, at the time, O'Brien tried to pass that off like that wasn't his decision at all. It's hard to believe that he didn't have a lot of input into that at this point, given how everything is developed.
So what we know is that O'Brien wanted Gain, according to everyone I've ever heard talk about it. And I don't know what happened there, but he moved on from, I guess he thought maybe Gain isn't even the guy he wanted and he'd rather do it himself. I can't imagine Cal McNair's first move would be to fire the GM unless that was really what O'Brien pushed for. And it's no secret that he's wanted to be running the whole show the whole time. Yeah. But again, that's the model he saw in New England. And if I was a head coach, I'd want all the power too. So I don't blame him for that. It does not feel like there are proper checks and balances in place with that organization right now. And that's concerning.
Well, if you think about, too, and even think about with Belichick in New England, by the time he got all that power, yes, he hadn't been a head coach before, but he'd been in the NFL and very successful as a coordinator and worked alongside. Like, he had a lot more NFL experience and acumen than Bill O'Brien had by the time he became a head coach.
Right. And, you know, I saw where Bill said, you know, the moves they made were with the long term in mind. Whew. That's tough to argue. Well, let's just put it out there. There's not a single GM in the NFL that would have made some of the moves the Texans made. And by the way, we know that because the Texans are the ones that got Laremy Tunsil. They were willing to give up more than anybody else was willing to give up. There's not a single GM that would do that because they realize how valuable those first and second round picks are. They're like the lifeblood of your franchise for the next 5 to 8 years. I mean, think about the guys they've gotten. Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Whitney Mercilus, J.J. Watt. It's actually an organization with a really good track record of picking guys in the first round. Guess what? You know who you get in the first round this year? None of those guys. Next year, none of those guys. Think about how much you'd want to get one of those guys. You're also getting no Nick Martin in the second round, no Max Sharping. And I mean, it's bad. There's no way to say it other than it's real bad.
That's Ross Tucker. He is our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. You can catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, and you can find that at radio.com/home or search Home on the radio.com app. Ross, good stuff this week. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, see you, dude.
All right, there it is, Ross Tucker. You know what, Seth? I am glad that we led into our conversation with Ross Tucker by asking for his opinion on the Astros and the sign stealing and the latest rumors of the buzzers and things like that. Not because I feel like Ross was going to give a great, enlightened, educated opinion on it. He had his opinion on it. But because he validated and confirmed what you were talking about in the open of this show, which is the human nature of people reading rumors.
Right.
Ross came on and said that he referred to Beltran's niece as if it were Beltran's niece tweeting these things, as if that were fact.
For those of you that are catching up on this, a fake Twitter account claiming to be Carlos Beltran's niece said that she had evidence and she knew that Jose Altuve was wearing a buzzer in his Game 6 walk-off home run versus the Yankees. And it turns out that it's a fake account. She's tweeted other stuff about other teams. And she was just reiterating a bunch of rumors that have been out there on the internet by internet sleuths and whatnot, all based on Altuve not wanting to have his jersey ripped off at the end of that home run. Yeah. It's astounding that now, because somebody put that out there and news outlets were reporting it as his niece at first, then they retracted that and are still talking about it like it's a validated account of some sort or a reputable account because it's repeated some rumors. It's astoundingly bad journalism. Astoundingly bad.
Let's cleanse the palate for a few minutes. Have you fully consumed Odell Beckham Jr.'s jackassery throughout the last 3 days? It's only been coming to light in the last few days. It all occurred within about a 2-hour period on Monday night at the national championship.
Odell got, I don't know if a player who wasn't involved with the actual championship has gotten this much pub for his post championship behavior. Maybe since what's his name, the little comedian Kevin, the little fellow.
Kevin Hart.
Remember Kevin Hart after one of the Super Bowls?
Probably Philly. He's a Philly guy.
It was the Philly Super Bowl when they wouldn't let him on the stage. That was
that's right.
That's the most this, and that wasn't as bad as this because it wasn't of an NCAA violation.
This is like
that
this is like
funny.
A definitive anthology of jackassery. Like,
so
he spanked like five different things.
He spanked a cop. He gave money to players.
Wait, hold on. He spanked a cop to the extent that now the New Orleans PD has an arrest warrant out for him.
Yeah, yeah.
For simple assault.
It was,
and there's a video of him doing it. He walks up and he winds up and waylays the guy in the ass,
and then like stares at his handiwork and kind of taunts the official after he comes, like he's going to wrestle him or something.
Right, right.
He was messed up, man.
Yeah.
Odell needed to be restrained for his own good, and frankly, looks like a guy that was probably a pain in the ass to be around. I feel like a lot of the players were probably like, "All right, Odell, this is kind of weird." Like,
well, he's in the locker room after the game. The smacking of the butt of the cop took place in the locker room.
Because the cop had to come in and ask people to stop smoking cigars. Right. I feel bad for that cop in that moment because you know he didn't.
He was probably happy as them that LSU won. The guy's from Louisiana.
He's like, great, I got to be this guy.
Yeah, so he's got to be the curmudgeon that tells these college kids to stop smoking cigars in this dump of a stadium.
Yeah.
and so So Odell comes up and smacks him on the, I mean, honestly, if you've been to the Superdome, cigar smoke is an improvement in that place.
Yeah.
All right, so Odell does this thing where he smacks him on the butt. He kind of taunts him a little bit. We know Odell was stuffing $100 bills in the hands of the players after the game. There was a video of Odell grabbing the megaphone of the band leader for LSU and starting to scream at the band. There's a video of him on the sidelines pretending to post up Karl Malone down on the sideline. Like, Karl Malone was on the sideline. Then there was this. We've got this audio. He interrupted Coach O's victory speech to the team. Like, Coach O is standing up on a crate, and you're going to hear music underneath this because the LSU, at probably their sports marketing department, put a video together where they took Coach O's speech and ran some music underneath it with some slow motion highlights spliced in. But it does have the actual locker room footage, too. Coach O climbs up on a stage or a box or something, you know, somewhere where he can address the team from on high in the locker room. And this is not cobbled together or edited. When you hear Odell Beckham Jr.'s voice, this is where he chose to interject himself in the victory speech.
Hey, this is about you. Has everybody got that?
Sir.
It's about this football team, about your character, about your heart, your grit. No going out all freaking season. We will now be mentioned as one of the greatest teams in college football history. Way to go, baby.
Yes, sir.
And you know what we did? We took it one game at a time, man. And we didn't blink. No matter what happened, guys, you never blinked. You guys understand that? Thank you, man.
This is what y'all did.
Thank you, man.
This is what y'all did.
Thank you, man.
Let's go.
Thank you, man.
Talk to him.
Thank you, man.
This is what y'all did.
You got to find the video. Maybe I'll tweet it out.
That didn't sound too bad.
No, but Coach O's in the middle of his speech. Seth, you got to see the video because the video is a locker room full of coaches, players, and Odell Beckham Jr.
He's the one person yelling and screaming. That's what I was wondering is how is he the one LSU grad that was in there? And did he?
There may have been more, but they weren't making jackasses out of themselves like him. Like, what? Honestly, and I know it's not a big deal. Coach O was probably like, cool, it's Odell Beckham Jr. But, dude, shut the hell up. That's not your moment.
Somebody said OBJ is like that friend that uses your birthday as an excuse to black out and make an ass of himself. And it does. It's become all these guys celebrating, and that specific team celebrating in that moment. Somehow Odell Beckham Jr. found a way to make it about himself.
And that's why
Odell Beckham Jr. annoys people.
Yes.
It's like he's a different type of diva. You know, there's diva-ing, and then there's diva-ing at complete expense. It's like a Terrell Owens type of diva, where you just don't understand or get how you're affecting other people. I'm all for wide. I love the diva wide receiver. I love it because it's like, I feel like it's... I feel like there needs to be more of them, but not the Odell Beckham Jr. type of diva.
I like the diva wide receiver if they're like a wrestling character.
Yeah.
And they do it for the 3 hours during the game.
Michael Irvin.
Yeah, you know, I don't need them living their gimmick 24 hours a day.
I like Deion Sanders, you know, like guys that were good teammates.
Yeah.
Despite wanting and needing all this attention, they were also really good teammates. Odell Beckham Jr., even in... Odell Beckham Jr. is a bad teammate to those guys, and he's not even actually their teammate. He was like, what the hell? It's like, you're such a bad teammate that you've managed to be a bad teammate to people who aren't even your teammates.
That's right.
My goodness, that's impressive.
As I'm watching that video, Seth, I'm like, this guy's a combination of two things. The creepy college dude that comes back during break and hangs out at the parking lot at the high school with the high school kids, and every hyperactive kindergartner that Amy complains about when she comes home at night.
Yeah.
Like, he's a combination of those two things.
Somebody, I love this take. I love that people are trying to make this the take somehow. Man, you guys are spending all this time talking about OBJ, but yet hardly heard anything about Julian Edelman. Because we don't have video. Please, if you show me the video of Julian Edelman, I will talk about Julian Edelman hopping on some car in Beverly Hills or something. Like, if you learned nothing, like, are you that dense that you haven't learned that, wow, when there's video, we're going to talk about a lot more.
Yeah.
On the dire side of things, when it's domestic violence or something, yes, it's not right. But when people have visual confirmation of something, and it's a lot more fun and scintillating to talk about.
Yep.
So yeah, if you have the video, please send me the Julian Edelman video. Promise me. I promise you, we'll chat a lot about it.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.